My name is Elsa Boltzmann. I am the youngest daughter of the physicist Ludwig Boltzmann. Ludwig Boltzmann. Papa. Why is it that when I think of my father, my mind still insists on returning to Duino? To the waves at Duino. Oh, it was 14 years ago already, and yet a part of me still lies captive there. Perhaps I've never truly... never felt able, never... Perhaps a part of me still wants to believe in reversibility. My name is Elsa Boltzmann. I am the youngest daughter of the Austrian physicist Ludwig Boltzmann, the author of what Einstein called Boltzmann's Principle. I am 29 years old.
29, Mama. I'm 29 years old already.
Your father was in his 30s before we were married. And look at Arthur. He's almost 40.
Damn.
What?
It's not working.
What's not working?
My hair.
It looks fine.
It looks a mess.
You're too critical.
I'm not critical. I just look awful. Would you stop that humming?
Sorry.
What are you doing anyway?
Arthur's waistcoat. I've had to let it out again.
Is that what he's wearing?
If he gets any bigger, he'll be wearing Papa's old suit.
Not tomorrow.
He's almost big enough.
He's not wearing Papa's old suit tomorrow.
Of course not. Of course not.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Would you like me to have a go?
Well, it needs to kind of sit on top somehow.
Yes. Let me do it.
Why do you think Arthur hasn't got married?
I've no idea.
Maybe he thinks it would upset you.
Why on earth should it?
Maybe he's still pining for Lisa.
He just needs a little persuasion. Men have to be pushed into these things. Or tricked.
Like you tricked Papa.
What?
Did you?
Hold still.
Mama!
What?
Did you use some trick on Papa?
Not really. Just persuasion.
Like learning physics?
I didn't learn much.
Like enrolling at the university?
A lot of what I did learn seemed like gobbledygook. And it still does. I just kept wishing that one day they would all open their eyes and realise the world doesn't need explaining away like a bad dream or solving like some great big crossword puzzle.
You didn't tell Papa that.
You think I'm stupid?
And you don't think maybe he guessed somehow what you felt even though you never said it? Mother?
Elsa?
What?
Do you want me to fix your hair?
You know I do.
Then would you mind not jumping about like a frightened jackrabbit?
All I'm trying to say is that when two people love each other, they don't necessarily see eye to eye about everything.
Elsa, I know what you're trying to say.
Mother.
You think if you could only turn the tables.
No.
If you could only find someone with broad enough shoulders.
I'm not saying...
No matter who that was.
That's not what I...
Even if it was the one person who fought for years.
I know.
Who stuck by him and sat by him and held his hand and mopped his brow.
Mama.
And died with him night after night after lonely night.
Died with him?
When Ludwig died. Your brother. Before you were even born. You never even knew him when he was happy.
I saw him happy.
Oh, not like he used to be. Bursting with energy.
I remember the energy.
Bursting with irrepressible energy. Charging after truth. Smashing open a fallacy. Of course they had fights. They were always having fights. Mach, Yerdl, Brentano, but they used to enjoy it.
I don't understand.
They got some kind of a thrill from it.
I don't understand where all that energy went.
Dispersed, evaporated. There must be a technical term.
But how could it vanish so suddenly?
You are like him.
How could it be there one moment and gone the next?
Always trying to solve the puzzle. And never realising that some things are just mysteries and were always meant to be mysteries. It's all I can do.
What does it look like?
Why don't you look in the glass? Well?
Mother.
What?
It isn't right.
What isn't right?
It doesn't look right.
It looks fine.
Look at it. Look at it. This bit's gone haywire. The top's all lopsided. I look like a scarecrow.
Oh, Elsa, stop it, for goodness sake. Stop torturing yourself. Stop torturing all of us.
I'm not torturing anyone.
Behaving like a child.
I'm nervous.
Of course you're nervous.
I wish Papa was here.
Well, he's not here.
I know he's not here.
And there's nothing you or I can do about it.
Where are you going?
Out.
Out where?
You're not the only one who hurts, Elsa.
Mother, wait.
I'll come back when you've had a chance to calm down a bit.
Don't leave me here.
Or when you've grown up.
Mother! Oh, Papa. Oh, Papa.
My mother is wrong. It isn't tables I'm trying to turn. It's time. Time.
Speak to me, Papa. Comfort me.
But time moves on its own implacable trajectory. That much my father taught me.
Tell me something clever. Something good.
Heat always flows from a warmer to a cooler place.
Something I can understand.
Reversibility is an illusion.
It isn't fair. It isn't fair.
And all of these things have something to do with energy. With bulls and with china shops. And with energy. I remember the energy. As though it were only yesterday.
I wish I could play like that.
Wasn't it fantastic?
Thank you. Lovely,
Papa. It's time you were in bed, Elsa.
Not yet, Mama.
5 more minutes.
Is your name really Ludwig?
Yes, it is.
Just like Papa.
Ludwig Flam.
It must be very confusing.
I don't think anyone could mistake me for the professor.
Not until you gain a few £100.
I really should get some exercise.
Why don't you give up physics, Papa? We could play the salons round Vienna. Ooh. Stay out late and sleep till 11 each day.
Arthur?
What?
You already sleep until 11 each day. And besides, you shouldn't encourage him. Your father's already spread too thin. Oh,
you make me sound like marmalade.
But I'm serious, Pop. Why couldn't we? You and me and Lisa?
Lisa was excellent.
I was not.
You should play with us more often.
Oh, I don't know.
It might save Papa and I coming to blows all the time.
Oh, I doubt it.
No, you're right. But play with us anyway.
Well, I am rather busy. My thesis...
You can't work all the time.
Says who?
Your supervisor.
You're only my second supervisor.
But I'm the one you love the most.
You're the one who gives me the best advice, it's true.
Papa's very good at giving advice.
So strangely, not so good at taking it.
From you, perhaps.
From anyone.
Stefan!
What?
Whose side are you on?
I'm not on a side.
And which advice in particular would you all like me to take?
Work less.
Take a holiday.
Spend some time with your family.
I have a book to write.
Not another one.
I don't have time.
You've only just finished the last one.
But I still have Mach and Jodl and Brentano whispering behind my back that I'm not a philosopher.
You're a physicist.
I'm teaching philosophy.
You're well known as a physicist.
I need to prove myself in philosophy.
And delivering a lecture tomorrow at the Vienna Philosophical Society doesn't count.
A book would count more.
And your family not at all.
Oh, Henrietta.
Do you know how long it's been since we had a family holiday? A proper family holiday.
I told you.
You promised me we'd go to Duino.
I'll take you to Duino.
I wanted to go to Duino ever since we were married.
I'll take you to Duino.
When?
Soon.
Next year.
If you like.
It's our wedding anniversary. Can you believe we've been married almost 30 years?
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Congratulations, Mama. Congratulations, Papa.
You're lucky to have such a wonderful family.
We are. It's true.
And at the end of the day, isn't that more important than anything else?
More important than writing your thesis?
Well.
Ah.
It's different for me, Arthur.
Why should it be?
I don't have a family as such.
But you could do.
Oh, I suppose.
You're all as bad as each other.
Don't count me in with the workaholics.
There's not much chance of that.
Oh. You all need to eat properly, work less, sleep more.
Sleep is for infants and geriatrics.
My point exactly.
Why did I marry you?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, perhaps because he allowed you to study.
Allowed me? He practically forced me to.
You wanted to study.
Perhaps I did.
You told me you did.
Well, no, I'm not so sure it was worth suffering the ridicule of 300 male students for.
I know that feeling.
But they accept you now, Lisa.
Finally.
These days you'd easily find a husband who'd let you study.
You should be proud of yourself.
I could never have done it without the professor.
You could never have done it if people like Hetty, people like my wife, hadn't broken down the conventions years before you were even thought of.
I suppose you think flattery will get you somewhere.
Where would I want to get?
To bed, if you had any sense.
Ah, that sounds like an offer I shouldn't refuse.
Do sleep.
I don't need sleep.
You have a lecture tomorrow.
You need energy.
To be more precise.
Give me energy, someone.
You need free energy.
Ludwig Flam.
Free energy?
I taught you something after all.
Energy is never for free.
You're right, Hetty. There's a price on all our endeavours.
Then the price is?
Entropy.
Precisely.
What is entropy, Papa?
Elsa.
What?
What on earth are you doing still out of your bed?
I'm listening.
Come here, my angel.
Papa, tell me what entropy is.
Entropy is the arrow on the signpost of history.
Entropy is the gradual return to chaos.
Or not so gradual in some houses.
Entropy is the price we pay.
What for?
For spending energy.
For staying up too late.
Papa, no.
She's right.
I don't understand.
Don't worry, Elsa, neither do I.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? What does it mean? Oh, how like your father you are. Well. Kiss her good night, Louis, and then throw these people out of my house.
Good night, sweetheart.
Tell me what entropy is.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
You promise?
Tomorrow I'll tell 500 people what entropy is.
And will I be one of them?
Of course you will. Of course you will.
But only if you go to your bed right now.
It's getting late. I ought to go.
Oh, not yet. Don't go yet, Lisa.
Perhaps we should all go.
Let's play something.
Not me. I'm exhausted.
Play us something to help us sleep, Papa.
Play them that lovely nocturne, Louis.
Which nocturne?
The one you played for our honeymoon.
Oh, yes. This one.
That's the one.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
You know, as fate would have it, I was born on Shrove Tuesday.
Tuesday, the 20th of February, 1844.
And as my mother's labour cries filled the hospital ward, you could hear, and perhaps I did hear, the dying strains of the Mardi Gras ball. But if my first impression of the world was of celebration, my next was of sorrow. For I was born within a stone's throw of Ash Wednesday.
Within spitting distance of Lent.
On the cusp of repentance.
And so it was.
My whole life skated on a knife edge.
Between joy and despair.
Between laughter and tears.
Between the lightness of heaven.
And the irresistible force of gravity.
My father's lectures were always eagerly awaited and well attended.
Who knows?
None more so than the last public lecture he gave. Before the Vienna Philosophical Society, less than a year before he died.
Who knows? Perhaps it was this unique perspective on the volatility of the human temperament which allowed me, which drove me, to delve deeper than most into the physical conditions supporting us.
No text of his lecture survives.
And yet, what kind of mind can settle with satisfaction on the insights science offers?
So why am I suddenly transported there?
Even as it strengthens us and fortifies our understanding on the one hand, so on the other it raises before us a host of unanswered questions.
Why that lecture? Why now? And what is he trying to say to me?
Who are these philosophers who believe against all the evidence that peace of mind lies within the compass of the human spirit? I can honestly say, and I'm speaking now as a man in his seventh decade, I have found none.
Oh, Papa.
And, in all honesty, I do not expect to find it.
Oh, Papa, Papa, Papa.
When my eldest son, Ludwig, died of appendicitis at the age of 12, I found myself consumed with one burning question. What could I have done? What should I have done to prevent that awful tragedy?
Perhaps my mother is right that I never saw him truly happy.
My mind kept turning over and over, relentlessly searching for that critical point, that definitive moment at which, instead of doing as I did, I might have done otherwise, and by doing so, have saved his life.
By the time I was born, my father's life was already moulded by tragedy.
Of course, a part of me knew better than perhaps anyone else, that time is not like that.
Irreversibility had already tempered him.
And yet another part of me yearned helplessly, hopelessly, for reversibility.
And forged his own relentless struggle for knowledge.
And even now, in spite of all my learning...
A lifelong quest to unravel the mystery of time.
In spite of the incontrovertible theorems of physics to which I have myself contributed...
To frame the irreversible world.
In the smallest hours of the darkest nights...
Within our insatiable desire...
A part of me still yearns for it.
For reversibility.
And yet... I remain trapped.
As we all are.
Between laughter and tears.
Between joy and despair.
Between love and entropy.
Entropy. Entropy.
Last night, my youngest daughter asked me...
What is entropy?
What is this thing called entropy?
I still don't understand it.
It remains, without doubt, one of the most difficult concepts in physics.
But I remember the passion with which he spoke of it.
And yet, this concept governs our most deep-seated perceptions of the physical world. Its irreversibility, the direction of its trajectory through time, the relentless march from improbable order to common chaos. A march offset only by continual inputs of energy, free energy, capable of reversing the general decline, but only at a price.
I remember the feeling.
The price, of course.
Of being on the verge.
Is entropy.
On the very edge.
More entropy.
Of understanding some great mystery.
So that we find ourselves locked.
A mystery only Papa could unravel for us.
Locked into Darwin's struggle for existence, with the odds stacked heavily against us, playing for high stakes in a relentless scrimmage. Fighting for survival, if you like, upon a flight of stairs. A moving staircase. A staircase which moves continually downwards with an ever-increasing speed as we struggle to climb it in the opposite direction.
A mystery that swept us all along with him.
And yet, this entropic world, for all its tragic irreversibility, is the same world in which we experience how deeply, how painfully at times... Our most profound emotions.
A mystery with magic at its core.
Kinship with our family.
A sense of beauty.
Affection for our friends.
A feeling of wonder.
Complicity in joy and sympathy in sorrow.
I still remember the title of that talk.
I'm talking, of course, about love.
An explanation of the entropy law and of love. By means of probabilistic reasoning.
Love and entropy.
And I cannot help feeling...
Entropy and love.
If I could only remember more clearly...
This is the subject matter of my talk tonight.
If the concepts were not so evasive, so elusive...
Where can we find a description of the world in which both love and entropy fit?
If I could only see past his words...
And physics provided...
And into his soul...
Can philosophy encompass it?
I should begin to understand what happened in Duino.
And if they cannot... Then where should we turn for enlightenment?
And know at last how to find some peace.
Who is it?
It's only me.
What do you want?
To talk to my little sister.
Wait a minute.
Good girl.
Oh, Arthur.
What?
You're drunk.
Nonsense. Just a little...
Oh, sit down.
Unsteady. Oh.
Let me get you some coffee.
Oh, don't go. Don't go, Elsa.
Let go of me.
Sit down with me. Give me a cuddle. Ah, that's nice. Little sister.
You should sober up before you start mauling people.
Mama said you're upset.
Upset? Do I look upset?
Yes.
Oh, Arthur.
There.
Oh, I'm just nervous about tomorrow, I guess.
Of course you are.
And part of me wishes so much that Papa
Shh.
Was...
Shh.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Arthur, what are you wearing?
Well, this.
No, tomorrow.
I've no idea. Mama's sorted it out.
Not Papa's old suit.
Good God, no.
Good.
I'm not that big yet.
Do you remember that lecture?
What lecture?
Papa's love and entropy lecture.
Vaguely.
Do you remember what happened there?
Not really.
Something happened there.
Some kind of fight?
Yes.
An argument, maybe?
But what was it about?
Honestly, sis, I don't remember.
Who was it with?
Yodel, perhaps.
Who?
Yodel was the chairman of the Philosophical Society. He was always causing trouble with Papa.
Where's Papa?
He's coming.
Why was that man being nasty?
What man?
The big man with grey hair.
Professor Yodel.
Why was he being nasty to Papa?
Stay here.
Where are you going?
Hello, Mrs. Boltzmann.
Oh, excuse me, I can't quite recall you.
Ludwig Flam. I'm one of your husband's students.
Of course you are. You came last night.
Hello, Ludwig.
Hello, Elsa.
Ludwig, I wonder if you mind staying here with Elsa.
No, of course not.
I shan't be a moment.
Let's sit on the stairs. I had a brother called Ludwig as well.
I know.
He died.
I'm sorry.
A long time ago, before I was born.
I've seen the photograph.
He was only 12.
Younger than you are now.
Sometimes when Papa's sad, I see him looking at that photograph as though he's trying to figure something out.
What is he trying to figure out?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, if he's trying to figure something out, I guess he will eventually.
Do you think so?
He's figured most things out.
He's quite clever.
He's the cleverest physicist of his generation.
Is he?
He's the only man who's tried to unravel the fiercest problems in physics.
Like what?
Like why heat always flows from a warmer to a cooler place.
Does it?
And why Newton's mechanics is reversible when life is irreversible.
And why is that?
Because time moves in one direction only.
Which direction?
Towards increasing entropy.
Entropy again?
Yes.
And what is entropy?
It's a relational property.
In words that I can understand.
I'll give you an example.
An easy example.
A bull goes into a china shop.
Right.
So what happens next?
The shopkeeper gets cross.
Why?
Because all his precious china is about to get smashed to smithereens.
How come?
Well, isn't that the most likely outcome of bull meets china?
Of course it is.
So what are you saying?
Well, now suppose the china was smashed already.
Before the bull came in, then?
Yes.
How come?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Let's just say the shopkeeper fell over trying to put a shelf up.
Okay.
So suppose the bull went into the shop and miraculously put all the china back together again.
The shopkeeper would be happy.
He'd be ecstatic.
And then he'd wake up.
Wake up?
Well, it wouldn't happen.
Why not?
Because when bulls go into china shops, they don't miraculously fetch order out of chaos. They wreak havoc and everyone gets cross.
Exactly.
Exactly what?
You've not only understood, but you've formulated quite precisely one of the most fundamental laws of physics.
Which is?
That in the normal course of events, entropy increases.
But what is entropy?
It's about disorder.
About the smashing of the china?
Precisely.
The crossness of the shopkeeper?
If you like.
And does this have something to do with the big man with grey hair?
What man?
That Yodel, whatever his name is.
Why should it?
Because Papa is the bull and philosophy is the big man's china shop.
Elsa.
What?
You are a very remarkable girl.
Ludwig.
What?
It may have escaped your attention.
Yes.
That I'm not, in fact, a girl at all.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean that.
Papa?
Everything so personally, Louis.
Well, how should I take it, then?
I don't know.
The man attacks me.
I'm only saying that you
threatens to remove me from my job.
You didn't
a
mean
job
it like...
I have worked for, slaved for. driven myself crazy for.
I know.
And you want me not to take it personally.
You should take it as a tribute, Papa.
You're joking.
No.
It wasn't a compliment, Arthur.
All I'm saying
was an insult.
Is that sometimes an insult can also be a compliment. Yes.
What?
Arthur's right.
Stefan.
What was he trying to do to you?
He was trying to destroy my reputation in the eyes of Vienna.
In the eyes of the Philosophical Society.
In the eyes of my peers.
And why would he want to do such a thing?
You tell me.
It's obvious.
To me, it's not.
Why did they never give you the chair in philosophy?
Because Mach and the others pulled the rug from under me.
Darling, you don't know that.
I know I didn't get the chair.
Because you're a physicist.
I'm teaching philosophy.
A physicist foremost.
A physicist commissioned by the university to teach philosophy.
Commissioned by Jodl, to all intents and purposes.
Precisely.
Jodl the philosopher.
So he says.
Who suddenly has cold feet about commissioning a physicist to teach philosophy.
And that gives him the right to attack me.
Of course
to
not.
Tear me apart in public
it's
and
It's not
accuse
about
me.
Rights.
It's about power.
It's about territory.
What?
It's about intellectual territory.
Is it?
Of course it is. Aren't you the one who's been trying to teach us the importance of Darwin's work?
You're saying...
I'm saying it's territorial.
You're saying this is a Darwinian thing.
I'm saying that intellect is a contested territory.
You're saying I'm a predator.
I'm saying Jodl perceives you as a predator.
Well, why should he?
A successful predator.
An insult is sometimes a compliment.
He reacts to you as a predator.
But why?
Because you went too far.
Lisa.
I don't agree.
Because you trespassed on private property with your great big physicist boots.
Well, I was only trying to shed some light.
And love.
Why not?
What does a physicist know about love?
Oh, come on, Lisa.
What?
We all know something about love.
Of course, but it isn't physics that teaches it to us.
It could do.
Even philosophy can't teach us about love.
But it could do. It could do. That was my point.
How could it?
Quite easily. If we listen to Darwin.
Darwin and Boltzmann.
Ah, thank you, Stefan.
But what are you saying?
He's saying that love is an improbable state.
Exactly.
Like life itself.
Precisely.
And yet they both occur?
Of course.
How come?
Because we're not in equilibrium. Because we don't live in isolation. Because energy flows through the universe and floods the world and invades our lives.
And causes love to emerge out of chaos.
Precisely.
And you want to know why Jodl didn't like it?
Yes, I do. I do want to know.
In one swift motion, you move right from physics to love.
If you like.
In one fell swoop, you seek a mechanistic explanation.
A probabilistic explanation.
Of our most profound experiences.
And I found one.
In one clean strike, you wipe out philosophy and all its cohorts.
What?
Jodl, in his naivety, appoints a physicist to teach philosophy.
A pike in the fish pond.
And look what happens.
The pike devours the little fish.
Well, I'm not trying to do away with philosophy.
No wonder Jodl's feet are chilly.
I was only trying to shed some light.
Using physics.
Using evolution, using entropy.
Using tools which philosophers don't possess.
Frightening concepts.
Newfangled weaponry.
Terrifying consequences.
And you want to know why Jodl didn't like it?
Come on, Louis.
It's not about rights.
Come on, Louis. Where's your coat?
I'm staying here.
What for?
Collect my notes.
You don't have any notes.
My thoughts.
You need to get Elsa home to bed.
Well, you take her.
Papa?
Arthur, take your mother and sister home.
Papa?
You can't stay here alone.
Stefan will keep me company.
I'll stay here a while. Louis.
What?
You mustn't do this.
Do what?
You're not being fair on them.
Then let them all go.
I don't mind.
Ignore me.
Then I'll stay too.
Oh, for goodness sake! Just get out of here! All of you! Leave me alone! Leave me alone, for heaven's sake!
You know, after all these years, Arthur, I still don't understand it all.
I'm not sure I do.
This Darwinian thing, this struggle, for instance.
What about it?
Why does it happen?
It's a part of evolution. Each little species struggling in its own way to find a niche, to find its own little part of the world to live in.
Is that what Papa was trying to do?
I suppose it's what we're all trying to do.
And where does energy come into it?
The struggle is the struggle for free energy, so Papa said.
But why?
Because without energy we couldn't survive. We couldn't live, we couldn't adapt, we couldn't evolve.
We couldn't struggle.
Exactly.
And then perhaps we'd find peace at last.
Elsa, you're crazy.
What's funny?
Without the struggle, we wouldn't exist.
Oh.
It's part of nature. It's the nature of life.
You're saying life is just a continual struggle to get the energy we need to go on struggling?
In one sense, yes.
It's not a very comforting philosophy.
Well, don't look to science for comfort.
Where should I look?
You're asking me that?
You're my big brother.
Well...
Where do you look?
Music, maybe?
And Papa did too.
Sometimes he did.
For months after that lecture, he wouldn't touch the piano.
His work had almost come to a standstill.
His life had almost come to a standstill.
The word in the university was he'd never teach again.
But every now and then, I remember, he used to see one or other of his students at home.
I'm so sorry about all of this.
It's really quite all right.
Hello, Ludwig Flam.
Hello, Elsa.
Have you finished your lesson?
Not exactly.
Papa's chest is bad again.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
I just hope he gets better.
You know, I kept hoping that when spring came it would all get better.
Do you think it will get better when summer comes?
He needs a holiday.
We could go to the seaside.
Wherever.
Is there a seaside at Duino?
Oh, you'll have to excuse me.
I need to get some work done.
You haven't had your tea.
Stay and have some tea, Ludwig.
I don't want to be any trouble.
You're no trouble, is he, Mum?
Of course not. We like having you here. I'm coming!
Will you be able to find another supervisor?
Don't really want another supervisor. Thank you.
Why not?
I don't know.
You like him, don't you?
Don't you?
He's my father.
You know, when I first arrived at the university, I didn't know anyone. I was going to leave. I couldn't imagine what on earth had prompted me to think I could ever understand any of it. And then one day, I was walking in the cemetery.
Why?
I don't know. It's peaceful there.
Oh, I suppose.
And I saw your father.
In the cemetery?
I wanted to tell him how much I enjoyed his lectures.
Even though you couldn't understand them?
Well, I...
I'm only teasing.
But when I got closer, he seemed upset.
Upset?
It looked as though he'd been crying.
Oh, Ludwig is buried there.
Ludwig?
My brother.
That must have been it.
And did you talk to him?
Not exactly.
Why not?
He spoke to me first.
What did he say?
He said...
If you want to know the direction of Time's Arrow, here it is. Here it is.
Time's Arrow?
Yes.
What did he mean?
I wasn't sure.
It's simple, my boy. It's simple statistics. Look around you here. There's only one thing more improbable than life.
Love.
What?
I bet that's what he said.
No, he said...
The amount of attention the Viennese lavish on their dead.
Exactly.
Exactly what?
What do you think he was talking about?
I've no idea.
He was talking about love. Love that is... crazy. Love that goes on forever. Love that refuses to end when life does.
Nothing goes on forever.
Why shouldn't it?
It's against the laws of physics.
Love that disobeys physics.
It's against the law of entropy.
Love that doesn't care about entropy.
That's you talking. It's not your father.
You don't know him like I do.
But I know his physics. I know his philosophy.
And I know his heart.
Then who's going to tell him?
Tell him what?
That his heart is in one place and his physics is in completely another.
Oh, dear.
Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
I'd better go. Oh,
perhaps.
No good telling me I need a break. I know.
I really hope he gets better soon.
Me too.
Because I'm never going to get this book written if I spend my whole summer languishing on a beach in Duino. Oh.
Lisa!
Be careful, Arthur!
Isn't this just the most beautiful place?
Oh, it's magical.
Look at the cliffs.
Watch out.
What?
The sea's coming right.
Are you all right?
Yes, just wet.
You're soaking.
Oh, I need to change.
Come here.
Arthur.
Let me hold you.
Don't.
There.
Arthur...
Isn't that better?
Your father is watching.
He's as blind as a bat.
What about Elsa?
She's drawing.
She's looking this way.
She probably thinks it's innocent.
Arthur.
What?
It is innocent.
Having fun, children?
Get on with your drawing.
Oh, I should get changed.
I'll find you a blanket.
What's your drawing?
Just a picture.
Let me see.
When it's finished.
Here, wrap this blanket round.
Oh, Lisa, you're shivering.
Take her up to the house, Arthur. Mama will find her something warm to wear.
Oh, I'll be all right with this.
Well, as you wish.
Oh, this really is a magical place.
Isn't it?
Oh, look at the waves just throwing themselves against the rocks.
All that energy.
Oh, Arthur.
What?
Don't start.
What do you think happens to it?
Dissipated, degraded, lost as entropy.
Oh, Papa, you promised...
What?
...not to work on our holiday.
I know, Angel, I know.
What's you reading?
Mach's book.
Is it any good?
Good? Of course it's good. Mach is good. Whatever else you may say about him.
I didn't say anything about him. I don't understand him.
That's nothing particular to advertise, Arthur.
Less of your cheek, little sister, or I'll throw you...
Stop it,
into
Arthur!
...into the entropy!
Stop it, Arthur! Put me down!
Get on with your drawing.
Oh, and how is your book coming along?
Yes. It's coming.
Excellent.
I haven't managed to write anything yet.
Oh.
But I know what I want to say. Yeah, I know what I want to say, and that's the main thing.
Of course.
That's the main thing.
And I hear you're teaching again this term.
Yes, supposed to be.
The students will be pleased.
Will they?
They missed you.
I've been so ill, Lisa. I thought I was dying.
But you're better now.
Much better, thank you. This little break was just what I needed.
Well, that's good.
And you have some teaching next term, I hear.
Oh, I feel very privileged.
Maybe I should attend Lisa's classes. What do you think, Papa?
You better do it now before she's famous.
You think she'll be famous?
Oh, don't be silly.
Of course she will.
How do you know?
Well, because she loves her work more than anything else in the world.
Apart from us.
Don't you, Lisa?
I love my work, it's true.
When are you returning to Vienna?
I should leave tonight.
No.
I need to get back.
We were going to play that trio again.
Classes start in 2 days' time.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
And I must read over my notes.
Perhaps I should come with you.
Oh, you can't, Papa.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elsa.
You must stay until the end of the holiday or Mama will never forgive you.
Well, that's true enough.
And neither will I.
My angel.
I'll go with Lisa. I'll make sure she gets back safely.
And what about the trio?
A trio is difficult with only two people.
Idiot, you could play a duet.
Papa and I would only end up arguing.
We would not.
Of course we would.
Why should we argue?
We always argue.
We do not.
I tell you what, I'll leave tomorrow.
You'll stay tonight.
We'll drink wine, play Beethoven, and forget we ever heard of physics.
Or philosophy.
Mm. Or tea time, apparently.
Mama!
You do all want to eat, I assume.
Of course we do. We're starving.
And Louis, I need your suit.
What suit?
The one you wear for teaching.
What for?
It needs a good clean before you wear it in public.
I'm giving a lecture, not a fashion show.
There's no excuse to turn up looking like a vagrant.
Good God, woman, can you not leave a man some peace?
There. That it.
What's it?
I finished it.
What is it?
What does it look like?
Looks like me and Lisa. Elsa!
Lovers frolicking.
How embarrassing.
I apologise for my sister.
I think it's sweet.
Let me see.
I haven't quite got the waves.
No, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful, Elsa.
I'm going to call it Love and Entropy.
Love and Entropy. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Love and Entropy. You're as bad as each other. Come and eat before I despair of the lot of you.
Come on, sis. I'll race you to the house.
Wait.
On your mark.
Wait for me.
Get set.
Wait, get ready.
Go.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Wait. Wait for me.
You're supposed to catch me.
That's not fair.
Catch me.
Wait.
Catch me.
It wasn't Papa's fault that Lisa left, Arthur.
I was never really in love, you know.
She would have left anyway.
I was in love with the idea of love.
I don't think that's true.
It was the cliffs, the sea. It was the magic of Duino.
The magic of Duino.
I wonder if she'll ever get married.
She already is married.
Is she?
She's been married for years.
Why didn't you tell me?
Didn't you know?
No, I thought...
To her work.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. Very clever. Papa was right about her, wasn't he? Why should she care two hoots for someone like me? Now that she's famous.
Oh, Arthur. Poor Arthur. Have we all taken you too much for granted?
Don't be ridiculous. I have a nice life.
Wouldn't you like a nice little wife to keep you warm at night?
Not particularly.
You're 10 years older than me, after all.
Oh, don't you start.
You need it much longer.
I have enough trouble with Mama.
Is this grey hairs I can see in your beard?
Get out of my beard.
No, Arthur, poor
Get
Arthur.
Out of my hair.
Tomorrow I will.
And then maybe, finally, I can get on with my own life. Perhaps I will get married.
Oh, my poor sweet brother.
I'm a casualty of love.
You're a victim of entropy.
I'm an exhausted wretch. In need of his bed.
Oh, Arthur.
What?
Thank you.
What the hell for?
Oh, I don't know. Everything. The last 14 years. Tomorrow.
Big day, little sis.
It'll be all right, won't it?
It'll be the best damn day in the whole wide world.
But you know, I still can't help wishing that Papa was...
Shh.
I'm sorry.
He wouldn't have made it this far, you know.
Wouldn't he?
He never would have written that book.
You don't know that.
He was ill. He was tired. He was overworked. He was trying to do something impossible. I read Mach's book.
Did you?
Lisa lent me a copy.
Did you understand it?
I understood that it's just a book. A clever book, but just a book. There's nothing in it that will stand the test of time.
Not like Boltzmann's principle.
The most likely state of the world is chaos.
Then how come it always takes us unawares?
Elsa.
Hmm?
You need to make your peace with Mama.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Do I?
Make your peace with her.
If you say so.
It would feel better if you did.
Would it?
Good night, little sis.
Good night, Arthur.
Louis?
It's not that Mama and I have been at war.
Louis, where are you?
It's more that what happened in Duino cast us both into the wilderness.
I need that suit.
Where we have wandered separately for 14 years.
He's working, Mama.
Unable to reach each other.
Doesn't sound like he's working.
Unable to comfort.
He's finally working.
Unable to forgive.
It sounds like he's playing the piano.
Repenting crimes that to this day seem vague and ill-defined.
After all the tired days he sat here fretting, the dam has finally burst and the water is rushing through.
We've got all this clearing up to do. He's got to be back in Vienna by tomorrow at the latest, and I still haven't had that suit cleaned.
Does it really matter?
Go and fetch it for me.
When he stops, I'll creep in.
Just knock on the door and ask him for it.
I won't ask anything.
Why on earth not?
All I want is to watch him work.
He's working.
All I want is for him to lift his hand and ruffle my hair and say...
My angel.
Though he won't remember saying it.
He never remembers anything.
He won't even notice I'm there.
And yet, if I ask one simple question...
I don't ask questions.
All I get is grief.
I don't say anything.
All I get is bad temper.
But, Mama...
All I get is abuse.
Don't you see?
No, I don't see.
You're like a rock in the stream.
Thank you very much.
Disrupting the smooth flow of the tide.
Trying to keep things from falling apart.
Breaking his concentration.
And what suddenly qualifies you to be Papa's little angel?
I'm only saying...
His principal apologies?
I understand him.
And I don't.
I'm not saying that.
What are you saying?
I'm saying he needs time, he needs peace, he needs space.
He needs a clean suit before his lectures start on Tuesday. So if you won't ask him where it is...
Mama, please don't do this.
Yes, I will.
You mustn't.
Get your coat and gloves.
It isn't fair.
Wait for me here.
The truth is, nature herself... isn't fair.
It isn't fair.
And she makes no pretense of fairness.
Louis?
Take appendicitis, for example.
Louis, I need your suit.
It's not only unfair, it is stupidly, irrationally cruel.
Louis, can you hear me?
What is it?
I need your suit.
What on earth for?
To get it cleaned.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Think about it. An infection in a small cul-de-sac of useless tissue that no longer serves any purpose in the human body. A forgotten twist of the digestive tract, endlessly reproduced out of sheer habit, like an empty gesture.
There. Was that so hard?
Like a smile when the recipient is gone.
Was that really so difficult?
Or rage when the torment is past.
For God's sake, woman, shut the door behind you!
Like love. Love after loss.
Why he makes things so difficult, I'll never know.
Love in the wake of tragedy.
It's just a habit.
Something programmed into us.
Without rhyme or reason.
A persistent emotion.
Dogging our lives.
Refusing to end when life does.
Until heaven only knows what will happen to us all.
And as to the future...
Because I don't.
Who knows what the future will hold.
Come on, Elsa. Let's go.
Perhaps it will be a wonderful place. Perhaps we'll find some way to correct the faults of nature. Young children need no longer die from a quirk of evolutionary forgetfulness. Life will become a little pleasanter, a little more purposeful, a little happier for us all.
I wish to God I could believe that.
And yet, in spite of this, there's one thing we can be sure of.
My mother and I left the house in Duino together on the morning of September the 5th, 1906.
Tragedies will continue to afflict us.
Amongst a number of trivial errands, we took my father's suit.
Loss is a part of life.
We were gone maybe half an hour.
It's more than that.
An hour at the most.
It's the essence of irreversibility.
It was I who returned first to the house.
Programmed into the world through physics.
Because Mama was chatting outside.
Cashed out in our lives through entropy.
And I remember running to find him.
In a relentless race towards chaos.
The study door was open.
And so it is.
Or at least it was.
That in 100 years.
Not quite fully closed.
Or in 200 years.
And through the narrowest gap.
We shall find ourselves.
I could see my father.
Papa?
Suspended.
Suspended.
Papa.
Between love and entropy.
Hanging by a short cord from a window casement.
Mama, come quickly!
Between our dreams of happiness. And the struggle for survival.
God.
Between expectation...
Mama, do something!
...and irreversibility.
I can't!
Between entropy...
His hand is still warm.
...and love.
No, Louis. What have you done? What have you done?
You must let him go now, Mrs. Boltzmann.
There must be something we can do.
I'm afraid not.
But his hand is still warm.
You should take your daughter away.
Yes, of course.
Are there friends you could stay with?
We're on holiday.
I see.
We're only here on holiday.
Yes, I see.
We're leaving tomorrow.
Well, in that case, you must both come with me.
I'm not leaving Papa.
Elsa.
But his hand is still warm.
Explain it to me.
I don't understand.
Explain it to me, Papa.
His hand is still warm.
Come away now, Elsa.
Explain how heat ebbs away more slowly than life. How mechanics is reversible, but time is not. How at first we are children, believing in fairy tales... And then suddenly we're grown up, grounded by gravity, struggling against the harsh dominion of physics.
Come away now, my angel.
I cannot recall those early days. The dark days. The days after Duino. I cannot bring any firm recollection of them to my mind. The return to Vienna. Clearing out his study. Kind words from innumerable well-meaning colleagues and friends. Some of them already jockeying to fill his vacant chair. all of it merges into a blur of pain. But I remember the day it began to get better. It was a Sunday. Early in 1911, I think. Mother and I had gone as usual to the cemetery. And as usual, could not agree on anything.
That awful stone.
It's beautiful.
He looks so stern, Mama.
It's very grand.
He looks so cross with us all.
He's working.
And we're intruding.
Quite realistic, then.
It wasn't always like that.
For you, perhaps.
And this formula.
Boltzmann's principle.
S equals K log W.
The most likely state of the world is chaos.
Why couldn't we have a poem?
It keeps them happy.
Who?
Jodl, Mach, Brentano.
Why should we keep them happy?
They've been good to us.
They were never good to him.
They were as good as men ever are to each other.
I wish we could have put him somewhere quieter.
He belongs here.
With all these emperors.
He deserves his place among the great and the good.
He deserves to find some peace at last.
And I, for one, am proud that he has it.
I think I might go for a walk.
You do that.
I'll catch up with you later.
And so it was that I found myself wandering along the wide green avenues of the cemetery, hung with huge trees which danced a soft rhythm in the spring air.
I was born in the dying hours of a Mardi Gras ball.
Oh, Papa.
Between the excess of Shrove Tuesday and the ashes of Lent.
Stay a little longer at the ball.
How sweet the sounds of merriment were.
And let's just dance the polka.
But you know what?
Or a waltz, maybe.
No sooner had my mother's cries died away.
After all, this is Vienna.
Than the band stopped playing. The guests began to leave. Outside, a cold rain had started to fall and the breath of horses swirled like mist in the harsh glare of the gaslight. Mardi Gras was over and repentance was at hand.
That's what I thought too.
And that, as I take it...
For 14 wilderness years.
...is the unchanging reality of the physical world.
I couldn't help believing...
...that each advancement along the crooked road to happiness is purchased only at a price.
That we had all done something cruelly wrong.
And the price is entropy.
That we had failed you.
The price is irreversibility.
In some unforgivable way.
The price is the constant stream of tragedies. Some little... Some unforgettably large, which define the human condition.
And that God was punishing us all for staying too long at the ball.
And yet...
Only now do I realise...
From this ruthless trade...
It's not about repentance at all.
...emerges something extraordinary.
It's about something far more wonderful.
Something totally improbable.
Something completely unexpected.
Something almost miraculous.
And what is that something?
You know, of course... what I'm talking about.
Perhaps it was only me who was surprised by it.
No one needs a physicist, much less a philosopher, to unveil the biggest mystery, the greatest wonder of all.
Excuse me.
Huh?
It's Elsa, isn't it?
Oh, Ludwig Flam.
What are you doing here?
My mother and I were visiting.
Of course. How stupid of me. How are you?
Yes. Oh, yes, I'm fine.
Here.
Oh, thanks. Oh, very ladylike.
Can I sit down?
Oh, please.
I haven't seen you for ages.
Oh, it's been, you know, quite difficult.
I can imagine.
Can you?
Well, no, I can't. Not really.
But why didn't you call?
I didn't like to trouble you.
You were never any trouble.
It seemed indelicate somehow, like trespassing.
I've missed you.
Have you?
Yes.
How strange.
Why strange?
Because I missed you too. I just never...
Oh, Louis, Louis, Louis.
What?
Nothing.
What is it?
It's like the sun coming out after a night of rain. My name is Elsa Boltzmann. I'm the youngest daughter of the Austrian physicist Ludwig Boltzmann, the author of what Einstein called Boltzmann's Principle.
Elsa?
Hello?
Are you feeling better?
Yes, Mama, I'm feeling better.
Is
Shall I warm some milk?
Oh, that would be lovely.
It's a big day tomorrow.
I know. It's a big day tomorrow. An unlikely day tomorrow. An almost miraculous day.
I'll go warm some milk.
A day set in motion by a chance encounter in the Vienna Central Cemetery.
Oh, it's so beautiful here.
By a series of improbable events.
So peaceful.
Each one of them falling into step.
I know what.
With the relentless march of entropy.
What?
Why couldn't every now and then a bull go into a china shop and leave with a box of tea plates?
What?
The shopkeeper had made no sales that day, and then, against all the odds, just as he was about to close, something wonderful happened.
What happened?
A customer, an unlikely customer, willing to spend all his savings on a gift for his daughter, who understands nothing about tea plates but likes the patterns painted on them.
It could happen.
Could it?
In a more unlikely world.
For tomorrow, 9 years after that chance encounter, 14 years after the horror of Duino, at 29 years old, I, Elsa Boltzmann, am to be married to Dr. Ludwig Flam, a student of my father, the physicist Ludwig Boltzmann.
Could anything be more unlikely than this?
Than what?
Than us.
Is there an us?
Ludwig.
What?
You know there is. And together we shall leave the wilderness behind us and set out to discover our own kind of happiness.